When you pull onto a street in your car, you have certain expectations. The road will be smoothly paved with clearly marked lanes, and the network of streets will not end without warning, leaving you stranded before you've reached your destination. If you're riding a bike, however, finding a safe continuous route can be challenging. I'm Gina Kaufman. Today on Central Standard, we'll resume our conversation about the state of bike infrastructure in Kansas City. The city's stated goal is to build 600 miles of on-street bike paths. We'll find out whether we're any closer to that goal now than we were this time last year. Plus, we'll venture beyond the city limits, getting an overview of the best places to bike in the burbs. That's coming up right after this news. On May 16th, Kansas City announced a lofty goal: to qualify for silver status in the League of American Bicyclists Bike-Friendly Community Ranking Program by 2015, and to qualify for platinum status, the highest ranking a city can achieve, by 2020. If you do a Google Maps search for biking lanes in Kansas City, however, the picture of the current network of routes might give you pause. And I mean that literally. An attempt to traverse the city by bike is visibly fraught with interruptions. I'm Gina Kaufman. To make sense of where we are as a city and our efforts to develop a more robust bike infrastructure, we've invited a couple of knowledgeable guests to the studio this morning. Please join me in welcoming Eric Bunch of BikeWalk KC to Central Standard. Hi, Eric.
Hi, Gina. Thanks for having me.
First let's start by saying, what is BikeWalk KC? What do you guys do over there?
I like to say BikeWalk KC in a nutshell is the regional advocacy organization for all things bicycle and pedestrian. Not only do we advocate for new bicycle and pedestrian facilities, but we also do a lot of encouragement programs and educational programming to get people to feel more comfortable biking and to sort of shift the culture so that bicycling is something that people like to do and want to do, and there's more demand for it because the culture is there.
That sounds really good. What are some of the specific things that you can do to make those things happen?
Well, we do fun things every month, for example, like our handlebar happy hours. We pick a place somewhere in the metro area. The upcoming one here soon is actually in Johnson County. So we kind of spread that geographically, but we just get together and talk about bicycling and make it a fun thing to do and not just don your spandex and go on a 100-mile ride. Among other things, we just not far from here in Tice Park, we recently held New Belgium's Clips Film Festival, which is it's not directly bike related, but about 400 people biked to the event, and we provided bike valet and secure bike parking, and people came, watched movies, drank a little beer, and had a good time. And Bike Month just happened, so just a whole month of festivities. So things like that happen all throughout the year to just get bicycling to be a fun activity to do.
I love the bike valet concept. That's very high class. I'm also joined by Aaron Bartlett. He's the bicycle and training coordinator for the Mid-America Regional Council, better known by its acronym MARC. Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on.
Thanks for being here. Well, what is the Mid-America Regional Council's take on the significance of bicycling infrastructure for a city's overall strength and livability? Does this issue affect the health of an entire city in important overarching ways, or is it kind of a pet issue for people who happen to be bicycling enthusiasts?
Well, I think it's actually much more than just a pet issue. It definitely gets at the heart of being able to get around in a community in a sustainable way. People find that bicycling is an affordable way to get from destination to destination. And it's a big part of the Metropolitan Transportation Plan that MARC oversees. So it's one of our the active transportation component of that is very important. We work with communities across the region to try and help them meet their own goals in providing better access for bicyclists and pedestrians.
What would be your broad assessment of Kansas City's viability for people who might like to ditch their cars and start biking, not just for recreation, but also to work and run their errands and everything else?
Well, I think as a region, you know, or even Kansas City, we have a fairly good, you know, climate to work with. There are certainly climates other parts of the country that are colder or hotter.
I haven't heard Kansas City's climate described as really good for outdoor things before, but.
Well, you know, I just think it's sometimes we're described as a place where it's maybe too hot or something. And actually, there are other parts of the country that are much hotter or colder or hillier and those kinds of things. So, you know, what's happened recently is there's been a number of new facilities signed throughout Kansas City. And we've noticed a definite uptick in the number of people who are biking. So that's, you know, that's a very positive thing.
How do you notice something like that? How do you measure it?
Well, there are surveys that are done by the Census Bureau, and what they'll do is they'll survey a grouping of people across, you know, zip codes and things like that, and find out if they are, in fact, bicycling, and what level are they doing that for commuting purposes. And so what we've seen between, like, 2011 and 2012, there was a 42% increase in the number of people who were actually using bicycles as a form of commuting options.
To what do you attribute that change?
Well, I think it's a number of things. It's probably some cultural issues, and as well as, you know, environmental awareness. People are just we're getting to see more people bicycling, and as a result of that, I think more people are also thinking about bicycling as a mode for themselves. But definitely the infrastructure improvements, the wayfinding system that we have, I think is helping.
What infrastructure improvements? What are those? What has happened?
Well, we've seen a number of communities across the region putting in bicycle lanes, which is a striped section of the roadway for cyclists. It's either 4, 5, and sometimes 6 foot wide, depending on the traffic, the speed of the road that it's on. So those are the types of infrastructure improvements that we're seeing. And I've got some statistics here that I could share with y'all. Back in 2008, Mark put out a bikeway map for the entire region. At that time, we had 265 miles of on-road bikeways. That would include your bike lanes, your bike routes, or shared roadways. The off-road bikeways, which would be your shared-use paths or multi-use trails, we had 416 miles, so a total of 681 miles. By 2013, when we came out with our next bikeway map, the number of on-road facilities had gone up to 459 miles. The number of off-road facilities, shared use paths and trails, 555 miles. So during that time, we saw a 73% growth in the number of off-road on-road facilities, and a growth of 33% of the off-road facilities. So we've seen significant increases in the number of facilities around the region.
This is all kind of interestingly. Is this Kansas City, Missouri proper?
It's Kansas City, Missouri proper included in that, but the Mid-America Regional Council also oversees 8 counties as a part of our metropolitan planning area. So we have Platte County, Clay, Jackson, Cass, and then on the Kansas side, it would include Miami, Johnson, Wyandotte, and Leavenworth.
So those numbers that you just recited apply to that entire region and not specifically to Kansas City, Missouri?
That's correct.
And the goal of 600 miles of on-street bike lanes is a goal of Kansas City, Missouri specifically, right?
That's correct.
Okay, so let's get some perspective on all of this. First of all, the city has claimed in a recent press release that it has reached 33% completion toward that goal of 600 miles of on-street bike lanes in Kansas City, Missouri. Would you say that's an accurate assessment?
Yes, I think that sounds right.
And you've mentioned some other aspects of infrastructure like shared lanes and things like that. Can mm-hmm. you explain what that means? What is a shared lane?
Well, in fact, any roadway that doesn't prohibit a bicyclist from being on it, it would be considered a shared lane. So those would be your bicycle routes. A lot of times bike routes are selected on roadways that have very low traffic volumes, low speeds. They may be going through a residential neighborhood, but they provide a good connection between two destination points. facilities like around the university, UMKC, there will be a lot of residential streets that can provide connections to the campus, and those would be your shared lane facilities, your bike lane or bike routes. Once a facility, when you start seeing more traffic and more higher speeds, then a bike lane is probably the more appropriate kind of accommodation. It provides additional space. It delineates that space better. There are other types of facilities that we're seeing going in, like the new sharrows. And these are basically symbols of a bicyclist or a bike on the road with chevrons that indicate the direction the cyclist should be riding. And they're placed at the side of the road about 3 feet from the curb.
And so a driver is supposed to know that that means what?
Well, that you're going to see cyclists out here and that this is a route.
Eric Bunch of KC Bike Walk, you've been listening to all of this. Do you agree with this assessment of Kansas City's progress in terms of on-street bike lanes?
I don't think I do, and that's primarily because there's not a great metric for bike facilities in Kansas City, Missouri. There is no current bicycle master plan for the city, which is unfortunate because that's exactly how we could measure the progress towards bicycle friendliness.
I want to jump in and ask what you mean by a couple of these things. First of all, what do you mean by there's no metric? How would we not be able to measure how many miles of on-street bike lanes we've added?
We can measure the number of miles of on-street bike lanes, and by our count, we're only in the about 22 miles of bike lanes.
What is different about your count than the one we've just heard?
Ours is counting specifically just the painted bike lane. So it's 5 feet in width generally. It may be a little bit wider and has a so you look out here on Cleaver Boulevard, and that's a good example of a bike lane. In Kansas City, there are only about 22 miles of those. I think what they're also counting, and I certainly laud the city of Kansas City, Missouri, for doing this, is the wayfinding system, the bike route signage system, because I think it's a fantastic addition to the network. But I don't think that can be counted as an actual on-street facility in terms of the mileage, because it's not a facility, it's a sign. And those provide very valuable information. They provide information for bicyclists on how to get to, how to follow a street and not accidentally turn onto a major arterial. But then what's meant by bicycle master plan is the guidance that that the city needs anytime, for example, anytime we repave a street and it's on the current plan, which is essentially just a map with a bunch of lines on it saying, these are preferred bike routes. What the city needs is the guidance, and I believe they're working on this, which is fantastic, is the guidance for when they repave that particular street that's on this plan, that it gets this sort of bicycle facility, a bike lane or a protected bike lane, a cycle track or something else. A Sharrow is unfortunately sort of our default facility right now when there's not enough space or there's not guidance on how to make the space for a proper bike lane. We just slap down some sharrows, which are great in certain circumstances, but they shouldn't be used as an alternative to a bike lane just because there's no space for a bike lane.
Now, okay, so the signs that you mentioned before indicating that this is a bike route somewhere, what does that really indicate? I am a little confused by that.
They are signs that say bike route. They're green,
right,
and they're usually on posts.
Those.
And they have arrows that indicate the direction that bike route is taking. So one of the biggest downfalls of having sort of our current bike route planning right now is to sort of find the best route that doesn't require any change to the street system. And so we route bicycles on these sort of circuitous routing systems where we don't know exactly, if we make a left turn, does the bike route continue? And so because we have this sort of broken network, as you mentioned earlier, it's hard to follow a system without that guidance. So those arrows sort of help guide that.
We've been listening and hearing that your preference is for actual lanes, painted lanes on the street. is it just a matter of the number of miles of lanes in the city? Is that a fair measure of safety and usability, or is there more to it than that?
I think it's very complex, and I wouldn't say that our preference is necessarily bike lanes. Our preference is bike lanes when they're appropriate.
Oh, okay.
A bike lane's not appropriate on a street like Wyandotte through Midtown, which is where I live, because Wyandotte's a narrow neighborhood street, and it doesn't need a bike lane. But a street like Armour, where there are currently Sharrows, it's wide, the cars move fast, so maybe a bike lane is the appropriate facility there. Or maybe it's an even more progressive facility like a cycle track where we actually have a barrier separated facility where because that's one of the biggest concerns from new riders. We were talking before the show and you mentioned that you're sort of in that camp of interested but concerned. You ride a bike, but you're afraid of traffic. And one of the ways that we can make that better and open bicycling up to a much broader community is by providing more separation from traffic. And so when it's appropriate for that, when there's space for that, we can create a more of a trail-like environment that's on the street through something like a cycle track.
Are there national guidelines on these kinds of things, letting you know kind of rather than just an individual observer saying, mm-hmm. well, I feel like this street really needs one, but this street kind of doesn't.
Yeah.
Like, what's the guideline?
Absolutely. There's there's the standard ASHTO guidelines. There's standards for signage and pavement markings from MUTCD. I'm using a lot of alphabet soup here, so I apologize for that. But there's a great new guidance called the NACTO Urban Bikeways Design Guide, and they also came up with the Urban Streets Guide that provides a lot more context and a broader range of facility treatments because, as we were saying, a bike lane isn't appropriate everywhere, and neither is a sharrow, and neither is a cycle track, but they are appropriate in their own specific context. So that guidance does exist, and it's a fantastic new addition to the arsenal that planners have now.
Aaron Bartlett, you've been listening to this. What are your responses to Eric's critique of sort of where we are right now and the direction we're taking?
Well, I think Eric makes a lot of good points about the different types of bikeway facilities that can be used on roadways. And a lot of it has to do with looking at the context of the roadway, the surrounding land uses and things like that to determine what can be done. With a built environment that is already in existence, a lot of times we're limited by, the location of buildings and the width of a sidewalk and those kinds of things. So we may not have the ability to widen the road, but there are certain situations where we can look at a roadway and determine that after doing a traffic study that the road is probably overbuilt and it has more lanes than it really needs to accommodate traffic. And in those kinds of situations, communities are doing things like road diets where they'll take a four-lane roadway down to a three-lane with a center turn lane, two opposing traffic lanes, and then bike lanes on the outside.
So, is there anywhere in Kansas City where we're thinking about doing this?
I think we've looked at some roadways like Blue Ridge Boulevard that have long connecting pieces. And so, yeah, there are areas that the city has looked at, and that actually includes several different cities for that facility.
I would actually like to throw a shout out to Raytown because they're currently doing a great road diet there on is it Raytown Road or Blue Ridge Boulevard?
Blue Ridge Boulevard.
Blue Ridge Boulevard. They're taking it from four lanes down to two or three lanes down to two and adding
so down
bike
to
lanes.
Two lanes for cars
and two bike lanes, one bike lane in each direction. Yeah.
Well, Eric and Aaron, I'd like you both to weigh in on this. How much of Kansas City's struggle in this arena has to do with Midwestern culture and sort of an overall automobile era development preference that persisted in America for decades? I want to believe that Kansas City's not alone in this, but when I look at how we compare to the nearby cities of Minneapolis and Denver, both suburbanized cities built for cars just like we are, it makes me question that assumption.
Yeah, I think that's a good thing that we have those peer cities that are doing fantastic things with both on- and off-street bike facilities. Like Denver has a fantastic trail system. So does Minneapolis. But Minneapolis is just above and beyond most other cities in the United States. It's one of the leading cities in the country for bicycle commuting, and it has a terrible climate. Other than like the 3 months out of the year that it's not under, you know, it's not really cold. It's really a harsh environment, and they have people bike commuting all year round, and they have the second highest bicycle commuting rates in the country. So we have these cities that are doing these great things and changing their culture and showing that it's not just a stodgy Midwestern culture. It can be changed through a variety of ways, through a variety of interventions. And so I think we have some good examples to look at. We don't have to look at Portland and New York and San Francisco. We can look at Minneapolis and Denver and St. Louis. Heck, Des Moines and Omaha are doing some fantastic things as well.
You mentioned great interventions. Could you give us an example of an intervention that you think is just brilliant and wonderful and you'd love to see here?
Well, as Aaron was mentioning, the road diets. We have streets that, because we had such an auto-dominated culture, we overbuilt a lot of our streets. And now the tide is shifting. We've suburbanized, and we have a lot of streets through downtown and midtown in Kansas City through our urban core that are really, really wide and have far more lanes than they need for the current amount of traffic that they're seeing. And so things that are happening in other cities where they're taking away driving lanes because they don't need them anymore, and adding some bike lanes, widening the sidewalks, slowing down the traffic and making it better for business. Bottom line is making a place bikeable and walkable is far better for the local business climate in the neighborhood than keeping it auto-dominated.
Aaron, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, I would agree. I think there's definitely a cultural issue. But, you know, I don't know that Kansas City or the Midwest is really unique to that. I think for many years, all over the United States, we've really looked at the automobile as the sole way to get around. You know, I do think that there's a changing tide, as Eric was saying, thinking here in this part of the country, and they're beginning to kind of recognize that there is a possibility that this will work, and that you know, we will need to rethink our roadways and maybe make some changes to them the way we've done it. For the most part, a lot of our trips have been based on where you go from your home to the location to do some shopping or to work or business, and our land uses have been very segregated for that reason. And as a result, we've seen really long, circuitous routes that people have to take, and by the time the traffic reaches an arterial or a collector, a lot of times it's very dense.
When you say arterial or collector, what kinds of things are you describing there?
These are the larger roadways that would connect to major shopping centers and areas like that. In Kansas City, during the 1940s and prior to that era, a lot of the roads were designed on a grid system, you know, north, south, east, west, and they connected together. Even local streets did. They carried more local traffic. After really like the 1950s and 60s, we started to see a lot more of the cul-de-sac kind of design and the segregation of land uses with zoning and stuff. And as a result of that, it increased the distance that people had to go in order to get from one destination to the next.
This tension between the automobile and other forms of transportation isn't just something that's a city planning thing. I mean, there is tension between car drivers and bike riders on the roads all the time. You know, the drivers, I think, feel like they're these sort of reckless bicycle riders who they're having to keep their eyes out for. And then the bike riders feel like their lives are being taken into their own hands every time they try to get from point A to point B. How do you is there a resolution to that kind of tension?
Well, I think, you know, it's the responsibility of everybody that's using the roadway to do it in a responsible way. You know, follow the rules of the road. Certainly, we don't want people running stop signs or lights or things like that. That always is a bad idea because then it introduces an unpredictable situation. But I also think that other communities where we've got much higher levels of people bicycling, they have overcome these kinds of issues. And we certainly have them here, but it's a cultural thing. I think there's an education component to this that's very important. Recently with May as Bike to Work Week, we issued a number of advertisements that were placed on billboards as well as on some of the buses that, you know, indicated people need to drive nicely. And it has a picture of a cyclist there. And so what we're trying to do is just to encourage people to take some time and not to be in such a hurry.
Are there special rules of the road for bicyclists, or are they the same ones that apply to cars?
Same rules, same rights, same responsibilities.
We've heard that what the city's goals are for bike infrastructure by 2015 and 2020, and I'd like to ask you both, and I'm going to give you both a chance to answer this. If you were the one setting our goals and mapping out the path to achieving them, what would the goals be? And we're talking about reasonably attainable goals. What would really serve the bicyclists of Kansas City in the next 5 or 6 years? Aaron, we'll start with you.
Well, I think, you know, the city should be setting some goals for how many new lanes of bike lanes that they can be building or reconstructing on roadways that already exist. I think that there should be, you know, some specific performance measures around that. The city does a great job already of doing some education programs and those kinds of things, and that certainly should continue. So we need to be getting the word out there to the public to make it a more accepted cultural thing. Those are the kinds of things I'd suggest.
And Eric, what are your thoughts?
In addition to what Aaron said, I think that the single biggest, I wouldn't even call it low-hanging fruit, I would say the single biggest thing that KCMO could do to increase bicycle ridership is to connect what we call the River Crown Plaza corridor with a high-quality bicycle facility. So connect downtown with the neighborhoods of Midtown. That's where the demand is. That's where the density is. That's where the jobs are. And then connect into that from elsewhere.
When we return, we'll continue talking with Aaron Bartlett of the Mid-America Regional Council as we broaden the conversation to include the greater metropolitan area. We'll be hearing about the trail and lane systems in the suburbs, and we hope you'll call to share your favorites. But for now, I must say goodbye to Eric Bartlett of Bike Walk KC for joining us, and thank him for joining us for the first half of today's show. Thanks, Eric.
Thanks, Gina. Appreciate it.
Central Standard will be back in a minute. I'm Gina Kaufman. Good morning and welcome back to Central Standard. I'm Gina Kaufman, and I'd like to invite you, our listeners, into this conversation about bicycling in and around Kansas City. We've been hearing specifically about biking for everyday transportation in Kansas City, Missouri, but the rest of today's show will have a more regional and more recreational focus. Call us up at 816-235-2888 if you have a favorite trail system for scenic leisurely bike rides. I, for one, will be taking notes and planning my weekend accordingly. The number to call again is 816-235-2888. You can also tweet us at KCURCST. I'm joined in the studio by three guests: Aaron Bartlett of the Mid-America Regional Council, Brian Shields from the City of Overland Park, and Brian Anderson, Superintendent of Parks for Leawood. Brian Shields of Overland Park, let's start with you. Tell us about the trail and lane systems in Overland Park, Kansas.
Sure. For many years, the City of Overland Park has required developers to go in and put a easement aside so that we could put in a trail system. So as subdivisions have developed, we've added a number of recreational trails. We have about 80 miles of bike lanes, or actually bike trails, throughout the city right now. And as far as on-street facilities go, we don't have any, really. I mean, we have nice neighborhood streets that people can ride on, but we've never gotten to the point, like Kansas City, where we can have on-street bike lanes and other types of facilities like that.
Is there demand for that in Overland Park?
There does seem to be. We've actually been doing a study here over the last few months, and hope to wrap that up later this year, asking people what would be helpful for them to be safer as they're out riding bicycles, or to encourage them more to ride bicycles. And we're actually finding some of the same things that Kansas City is doing, which is to put in bike lanes on certain streets to make it more bike friendly, to put in route signage to let people know how far it is to certain venues, to connect the bike facilities on street with some of our trail systems, just to make it more convenient for everybody.
Any plans to put those findings into action?
We do plan on taking the report and the study that's being done right now, and later this year, probably getting that adopted through our governing body, and then rounding up some money so that we can start doing some of these projects over the long run.
So tell us a little bit more about the trails in the parks in Overland Park.
Right. So we have really a couple of major trails that run pretty much east-west through the city, the first being Indian Creek Trail, and that runs roughly along the 435 corridor east-west. We do have connections with that throughout as you go east or west out of Overland Park, so over through Kansas City and then over through Olathe. But the other one to the south of there is the Tomahawk Creek Park Trail, and that connects to the Indian Creek Trail on the east side of the city and then meanders down towards Olathe and 143rd Street area on the west side. We have another one that's in the planning stages and should be underway pretty soon, the Coffee Creek Trail, which will actually be farther south, connecting the Heritage Park area down around 159th Street and moving to the east over towards eventually the Blue River over by US 69.
Do you ride bikes yourself?
I do. I grew up riding a bicycle, as most people did, and at some point my bike got stolen and I never replaced it, but here in the last 5 or 6 years I did get a new one.
Do you have a favorite trail of these trails you just named to ride yourself? And maybe you could describe it for us.
I like getting on the Indian Creek Trail because it has such a long length to it that you can go out and connect to various places, whether you want to ride through a residential area or, get more into the commercial areas that it kind of meanders through sometimes. So if you want to stop and get some lunch, get a drink, that's always a favorite thing to do when you're out riding, for recreation.
Brian Anderson of Leawood, Kansas, let's turn to you. You're superintendent of parks for Leawood. What are the options for bicyclists in Leawood parks?
Yeah, well, thank you for having me today. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm a daily listener at KCUR, so it's going to be fun.
Thrilled to hear that.
So trail options for Leawood are similar to Overland Park. Our trails are the Indian Creek Trail and the Tomahawk Creek Trail. They connect to Overland Park, as Brian Shields just said, and also adjoin into Missouri, Kansas City, Missouri. And we have those trails total 8 miles in Leawood, but since they connect with our adjoining cities, obviously the lengths go quite large. I think Tomahawk Creek Trail may be about 17 miles in all, and you can ride into Olathe. Some history about our trails and how we got
there. Can I ask you a question really quickly, though?
Sure.
You mentioned that the trails of Leawood and the Leawood parks connect with the trails of Kansas City, Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
Was that an intentional sort of planned thing? And if so, are there future plans to maybe create more connectivity?
Yes, I'm sure there are plans to have improved connectivity in other locations. The Indian Creek Trail is one that about 10 or 12 years ago now, we partnered with Johnson County Parks and Recreation and were able to build a mile of trail from our Leawood City Park to a Watts Mill area at State Line. And that was the first, I think, connection of these multi-use trails and the Kansas City Metro of the two states in Kansas City. So opened up a lot of travel options. Over time and throughout the past decade, Kansas City, Missouri has been continuously adding on to that trail and extending it further and further east.
Very cool. Well, Aaron Bartlett of the Mid-America Regional Council, when you look at the greater metropolitan area and the suburbs throughout the region, do you think there are any areas that deserve special recognition for their bicycling infrastructure?
Well, I think yes, I do. I think that, obviously, Overland Park and Leawood, Olathe, a lot of the cities that have worked together over the years to create a continuous trail system that runs along Indian Creek would be a perfect example of that. That particular facility, I believe, actually runs 32 miles from Kansas City, Missouri, where it ends at the confluence of the Blue River, all the way out to Olathe. So those are, those are definitely things that we should be proud of and continue to, enhance. And we'd love to see some of our trail systems eventually get down into some of the new counties that have become part of the MARC planning area, like Miami County and other places. And actually, those kinds of large-scale connections have been part of a plan that's been we've been working on for a number of years. It's called Metro Green. Metro Green is a green infrastructure plan that that looks at a lot of the environmental issues around creeks and things like that, but it has a very strong trails and bikeway component to it. For the most part, that plan has really looked at the off-road facilities along, you know, creeks, but the plan also does look at overland connections along roadway corridors. And so what we're trying to do at this point is to really start thinking about how do we start using a regional network of roadway systems with the on-road facilities as well to enhance that and to create a system that people can get around on. So,
do you yourself like to ride bikes?
Yes.
So yeah. Say you're heading out for a weekend ride. Where do you go?
I usually head out south. I'll go along Lee Boulevard, cross over the bridge over I-435. I'll then get down to the Indian Creek system and ride from there, maybe out to Medcalf before coming back.
Listeners, we want your recommendations now. Where do you go for an awesome bike ride? Or maybe you're looking for a route near you. Call 816-235-2888 and our panelists will do their best to advise you. The number again is 816-235-2888. I'm Gina Kaufman. You're listening to Central Standard on KCUR 89.3 FM. And right now, we've got Mitch Williams of the KC Metro Bicycle Club on the line. Mitch, you've been listening to this conversation, and before we ask for your recommendations, anything you've been dying to respond to?
Well, yes. I mean, first of all, thank you for having me on your show today. Well,
thanks for being here.
And I follow behind some very distinguished people. A couple of comments that were made, I think, earlier when Eric and the gentleman from Mark was speaking. They talked about having some goals for the city, some metrics that were developed. One thing that, by me just being a regular rider, the thing that's most important to me is being able to, if I'm going to use my bicycle to do commuting or to do shopping or something of that sort, one thing that's important is being able to be able to park my bicycle at those places that I visit and to have stores that are close to my neighborhood so that I don't have to travel extremely long ways to do the things that I need to do.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. And so now I'll ask you what I've been asking other people, but what are your favorite recreational bike riding areas? Or is that something you do? Do you primarily use your bike for transportation?
I use it for both. I'm primarily a recreational rider.
Okay.
And I'm not a big trail fan.
Interesting. Why not?
Yeah, no. Trails, I don't like the surface of a trail. I don't like the fact that I have to necessarily share with the pedestrians. And they're not the most direct way to get from point A to point B.
So you have destinations?
Yes. When I do my recreational cycling, I'm going to destinations. So I use streets and county roads and that type of thing.
Where are your favorite places to go in and around Kansas City? It can be, you know, in outlying areas as well.
Well, typically I have a 25-mile route that I like to do just when I want to get out and have fun. I use boulevards. I like to use Paseo Boulevard. I use Vine. 18th Street, Grand. I go through the Cliff Drive area, Manchester, 63rd Street, places like that.
So those are and you think that those are well outfitted for you as a bicyclist, or do you have struggles along those routes?
No, I choose my routes that I think are safest for me. I find boulevards to be very safe for me.
That's interesting. Aaron Bartlett, what are your thoughts about boulevards as bike routes?
Actually, they're well designed, and in some cases they may have additional space. I think the Paseo is a good example of that. In fact, I know that the city of Kansas City, Missouri, has developed an application to the Mid-America Regional Council to put bicycle lanes in on that particular boulevard. So, yeah.
Let's hear from Sally and Lenexa. Hi, Sally.
Hi.
What can you share with us?
I am part of a bicycling group, just a group of friends that go out bicycling on Tuesday nights. And we've used the trail that you've talked about over in Missouri that goes all the way over to Olathe, and we've used that quite a bit, and that's very nice. And I must say that they keep those trails very nice. After a rainstorm or at the beginning of the season with leaves and everything like that, they're really good about keeping it cleared. I don't know who does that, but they do a great job. And the other thing is we went on a bike ride for the first time this season, and we went up by Deanna Rose Park, like at a, that's 135th and Santiago. And we went east on the trail back behind Deanna Rose Park. And I don't know who does it, though. Neighborhood maybe has some ferry houses back there where they maintain them for, like, little kids to play in and stuff or play with. And so last week I took my granddaughter there, who's four, and brought a little doll for her to play with. And
I think we might hear her in the background there. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Nadia, can you say hi? No, say hi. Nope, she's not going to say hi.
That's all right.
But she loves the fairy trails. And whoever takes care of those fairy houses, it's just really special. It's really a cool place. My sister is coming in with her grandkids from California and wants to go do that while we're here.
Okay, well, thanks so much, Sally. And Aaron, have you experienced this trail? It sounds like it's behind the Deanna Rose Farmstead.
Yeah, and I'll give Brian an opportunity to say some things about that too. Yeah, it's a nice natural trail system back there. I think there are some of the trails back there that are asphalt surface, but then there's a lot of natural wood chip type trails that sort of link in and around there. So those are nice, really nice walking trails. You won't see cyclists back there, but there are trails that come near there. I believe there's a fairly close by off-road system. Brian?
Yeah, and actually the gnome homes, as they're known by, kind of started springing up a few years ago. And
springing up just independently?
Independently, yeah. The city was not doing that. Somebody just came out one night and, you know, put one up and invited people to come to a tea party. So you'd open up the door to the gnome home, and there would be a small dining room table and teacups and everything. They put a lot of effort into it. So a few others have sprung up along the trail now.
So like Keebler elves type things?
You bet.
Okay. Well, that sounds really fascinating. And let's talk to Sid in Mission. Hi, Sid.
Hi. How are you?
Great. Please go on.
I had a couple of things I wanted to say. One, the question was posed about favored bike trails. And I have actually several, but Mill Creek is personally my favorite. I think that creek is, or that trail is just absolutely gorgeous. I've ridden that thing, oh gosh, a lot from clear down to the Nelson Island area at the north end of that trail all the way into Olathe. And then I've kind of got a shortcut that when I get out in Olathe, I can cut across and tie into the Indian Creek Trail and then run that thing clear through Leawood and over into the Missouri side. And it's just, the whole thing is just gorgeous. So, but especially Mill Creek around the Shawnee Mission Park area, I just love that that whole area. It's just open and it's just beautiful. So.
And you said it's Mill Creek?
Yeah, Mill Creek Streamway. I believe it was one of the original ones. It runs over, oh gosh, west of I-35 and goes like straight north, cuts through the western part of Shawnee. But it's gorgeous. But, you know, Indian Creek, they're all really pretty trails. That's my favorite. But there's a couple of pretty good-sized hills on that thing around Shawnee Mission Park area over there. But you can jump off at Shawnee Mission Park and ride around the park even there if you want to do that and stuff, so...
And Sid, did you have any other questions or comments to share?
Yeah, the only thing I wanted to ask is I live fairly close to the Turkey Creek Trail, and this has been an ongoing construction project for quite a while. And I noticed that Overland Park has gotten their piece of it, it looks like, done now, where it cuts across from Merriam, and it's supposed to link into a route, eventually it's going into downtown KC, and I was kind of wondering if anybody knows what the status is of that trail or when that's going to be completed.
All right, let's get an answer to that. Who has an answer to Sid's question?
This is Brian from Overland Park. I do know that there's been a number of improvements made along that trail. Last year we did our portion along the bluffs there. But I think at this point there is a gap that's missing in Mission. So it's really probably the Mission governing body, to set aside the funding to be able to complete the rest of that.
When a trail goes through all these different communities and all these different municipalities, how do you all interact to make sure that there aren't, to the best of your ability, that there aren't gaps like that?
I think for the majority of it is just a lot of pre-planning on the staff part. And sometimes there is an advocate who might be either a council member or a citizen who brings it forward too. But in general, we try to find ways to look at it holistically and then try to find the money to actually make it happen.
Let's talk to Lynn in South Kansas City. Hi, Lynn.
Hi. I just wanted to comment. I've grown up in the Kansas City area, started in Leawood when they had the trail, first of all, going through to Overland Park, and used to ride it to go see my friends. And then as I had kids, we live on the Missouri side now, and we rode a lot when they were little on the trails that started like in the Watts Mill area and rode out towards Overland Park. But as a cyclist myself, I truly enjoy, because I can do it right out of my backyard, is I just jump on and ride around the lake. Longview Lake. And there's a lot of people, there's a group that starts on Saturday morning and I enjoy riding with them. They have a beginner's group and then later on they have a little a harder group that you can go with them, and they go out to Raymore and then come around on the outer road on 71 Highway on Saturday mornings. And that's a fantastic ride. I kind of agree with the one guy that was talking about the trails as far as riding a road bike. I don't like doing that as an adult because I go too fast and it's too dangerous. But I do like, with the kids when they were growing up, it was fantastic to go on all those trails. And they went on forever and the kids could never get bored. They loved it.
Thanks so much, Lynn. Aaron, do you know how people get hooked up with these kinds of groups if they're interested?
Well, I think like with the example of your last caller, you will get hooked up either through Facebook, or you may get hooked up through going online and trying to find a bicycling club. But there's a number of different clubs and groups all over the region, and I would also suggest just checking out your Parks and Recs, your local Parks and Recs webpage.
We've got a call now from Maggie in South Kansas City. Hi, Maggie.
Good morning. I'm a long-distance hiker, and I really appreciate the trail system. I'm able to walk. I think I walked from, like, Jerry Smith Park in Kansas City all the way to Lenexa to the Nazarene University. And
where is Jerry Smith Park?
In South Kansas City, so south of Blue Ridge Boulevard. So through Minor Park, that links up. I've gone on horseback. I've gone on bike. I've gone on foot. But it's a tremendous system that can link up through Alex George all the way west. It's just, I really appreciate it. It's tremendous. And then you can also, it almost hooks up. There's just a little missing link, but I can almost walk to the trolley trail from South Kansas City. There's a little bit of a missing link. But then you can walk all the way into Brush Creek down by the Freedom Fountain. So very extensive for walking.
Thanks, Maggie. I'm interested, maybe Mitch Williams, our guest from the Metro Bicycle Club, can answer this too, because you were mentioning, Mitch, that you don't like the trails partly because you share the space with pedestrians. Maybe we can talk a little bit about the multi-use aspect of these trails.
I think the one caller had talked about how she liked having her children on the trail with a bicycle. That's the one time that I would like to use the trails. And I do use the trail, the one that the lady talked about that goes to the Freedom Fountain through Brush Creek. And I ride that often, and when I'm riding with people that might have children or something, we will take that route. And I think for walkers, runners, and I run sometimes as well, and I use that trail next to Brush Creek for running. So I do like the multi-use aspect of it, but for cycling, I think the one caller mentioned the fact that she rides fairly fast. Trails are just not good for that.
Aaron Bartlett, what about this multi-use issue?
This has been an issue that's been around for many, many years. And, you know, I think it's trails definitely have their advantages and disadvantages, but certainly the slower walking our users would be the people that are they're walking or walking with strollers. And a lot of times a cyclist may be coming up behind somebody. They're moving fairly fast, and the walker may not hear them, may step to the side. And so there are these potential crashes that can occur on trails. The other thing that is a problem sometimes with trails is particularly where they meet roadways. And so you may have intersections that a trail is going across. They may be commercial drives or things like that. And a lot of times, if the cyclist is moving in the opposing direction that you would normally see someone from the roadway moving, those particularly can be very dangerous because the person who's either pulling into a destination or pulling out may not be looking in that direction. And so we see a lot of crashes that occur in that's the, you know, circumstance.
Is there someone who looks into these kinds of locations and works on resolving those kinds of problems?
Well, there's certainly different designs all over the region. There are locations where a lot of access management's been done on a roadway, and so the number of crossings may be minimized greatly. But, you know, it's still, it's not a perfect one-size-fits-all kind of solution for everybody. So that's where a lot of the on-road stuff is important.
Let's talk very quickly to Stephen Olathe. And Steve, we're about to end the show, so quickly.
I'll limit my comments to, I like the Streamway Trail. I picked my present house because of its location in proximity to the trail. And the thing that I really like about it is I ride during the weekdays, so it's not nearly as crowded as it is on the weekend. But there's several little side paths. The one that comes to mind most readily is off of K-10 and Woodland by the Lenexa-Olathe border. There's a frontage trail that runs along K-10 clear out to Lake Lenexa, and then if you know your way around the side streets, it hooks back up with the Streamway Trail. So it gives you the variety and lots of bypasses to avoid the hills if hills aren't your thing.
Well, that is all the time we have for today's conversation. A huge thanks to all of today's guests for joining us this morning. To listen back to this show or any previous conversations you've heard on Central Standard, go to kcur.org/centralstandard. You can also stay current on Central Standard News by following us on Twitter. Our handle is @kcurcst. Tune in tomorrow for a wild ride with the Front Porch Fest and the Great Plains Super Launch, which brings science-y people with a very specific hobby to the fair state of Kansas this weekend. You will find out more about that tomorrow at 10. Our show is produced by Matthew Long Middleton and Sylvia Maria Gross. I'm Gina Kaufman. Stay tuned for Up to Date next.